You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
An 11-year-old little girl. Just let that soak in. Just 11 years old. Let's see what grade that would be. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Fifth grade. Max, fifth grade, is missing. Of course, I'm talking about 11-year-old Audrey Cunningham, missing out of Texas. She goes missing en route to school. As we go to air right now, we are learning that there is a gathering of LA law enforcement around a nearby area. Our eyes are on that as we proceed. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us here at Crime Stories and on SiriusXM 111. Listen to the mom.
I would just like to get the word out that we would like to have her come home. It's not like her to, you know, just run off or disappear. She has a lot of loving family. She has so many people that love her and adore her. She is a very well taken care of child, and we miss her. We don't understand, and any and all help would be greatly appreciated. And I want the word spread around as far as possible. If you see her, please contact, you know, your local police.
What do you do when your child goes missing? Run through the house screaming for the child, look in the yard, start running in the neighborhood, call 911. This mother, Cassie Matthews, begging for our help, begging for your help to find her 11-year-old little girl, Audrey. And this is what Ellie has to say. Listen.
I want to say that investigators are following active leads based on tips that and evidence that we have gathered. The videos submitted to investigators by the community have been very helpful. We're looking for and asking the public's help for additional video on FM 3126 that shows the highway. This video would have been on Thursday, February 15th, between 6:30 a.m. and 8 a.m.
Oh, my stars. It's like a needle in a haystack asking for video of the highway. But listen, it works. Brian Koberger, perfect example. What happened to the four Idaho students? Well, I've been there myself. There is a 7-Eleven gas station at, it's not very populated, but at a particular corner near the King Road crime scene. You got to come to, I believe it's a four-way stop right there. The clerk at the 7-Eleven herself sat there and went through surveillance video hour after hour after hour on her own time, I might add, and catches Brian Koberger's car going by around 3 a.m. in the morning, the night of the murders. 4 a.m. in the morning, the night of the murders. And that, among other things, cracked that case wide open. So it is possible. It is possible for anybody with a dash cam, a ring phone, anybody with access to any video surveillance along this area needs to come forward now. We are looking for an 11-year-old helpless little girl. Is she alive? Is she dead? Is she being raped right now? Is she being tormented? Is she alone? Is she crying out for her mother? Where is this child? I hate to ask jurors this. As a matter of fact, in the law, you are disallowed from asking a juror to place themselves in the shoes of the victim. But think about it. What if this is your child, your 11-year-old little girl, missing? With me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know right now. First, to Carla Castillo, joining us, anchor, Morning EP, KBTX News. Carla, thank you for being with us. Let's just start the morning. Audrey disappears. This has just happened, Feb 15. There's still time. There is still time. Tell me about that morning. First of all, where does Audrey Cunningham live? What's the jurisdiction? Where did this happen? Where's Livingston?
So this is in It is about 70 miles north of Houston. We are based in Bryan, Texas. That's where I live, and that's about an hour and a half away from us. So this is in an area that many of our community members, they go to Lake Livingston for recreation purposes, for hunting, things like that. But this is an area that is just north of Houston. And you think about, I know as a mom, I think about February 15th. I'm thinking it's the day after Valentine's Day. My kiddo has just celebrated Valentine's Day, and this is not something that's on your mind. And that's not what you asked me, but it's very heartbreaking to think about this happening, especially, you know, in a time when we're thinking about love and friendship and such just a terrible time. And so what they
pause, Carla Castillo, I want all the information you have to give me, but jumping off what you just said, let's analyze it. Cheryl McCollum joining me, founder, director of the Cold Case Research Institute, star of Zone 7 hit podcast, and a forensics expert. We were in the trenches together for many, many years. Cheryl McCollum, right off the bat, let's hit it. 70 miles north of Houston. That says to me, it's probably not a perv from Houston. Number one, that's too far. They're not going to drive 70 miles to find a victim. Mark that out. But Lake Livingston wreck. A lot of people with vacation homes on the lake know the area. It's near Audrey's home. I could see that. A perp coming from there. Thoughts? In a nutshell.
Absolutely, you're correct. You've got that reservoir that's over 800 acres. The perpetrator most likely knows this area. There's no doubt about it. Nancy, you and I both know the first 3 hours are critical. This perpetrator, if he took her prior to the bus stop and the family did not realize she was not at school, roughly had 9 hours.
Which is making me sick. I haven't even gotten that far, but you're right. I'm going to circle back to Carla Castillo on that. Yeah, she didn't show up at school and nobody called mommy. Oh, hey, I get a note immediately at 8:06 if the children are not where they're supposed to be at their school. You darn right I do. So why nothing? You can't text me? Why? Okay, that's a whole nother can of worms. Talking about the lake. How does it play in? Listen to Sydney Sumner, Crime Online.
The town of Livingston, Texas is about 70 miles northeast of Houston in a place that seems perfect to raise a family. Nearby Lake Livingston State Park provides outdoor activities from fishing to boating, swimming, and hiking with over 83,000 surface acres. 11-year-old Audrey Cunningham lives with her dad and grandparents about 5 miles from the lake in a quiet neighborhood where neighbors still know one another by name. Audrey walks to her bus stop most mornings and has made friends with some neighborhood pets that she always stops to pet on her way to the bus stop or on the way home.
That's really good information. She stops on the way to the bus stop. She meanders and pets animals on the way. Also very significant. Let me go to Lana Shadwick, attorney, former Harris County judge and prosecutor. You can find her at lanashadwick.com. You know, Lana, also the pop is about, just wrote it down, almost 6,000. 5,829 people.
Almost.
And that says a lot to me. As opposed to somewhere like Chicago, Detroit, New York City, Atlanta, you've got a much, much smaller suspect pool.
Well, not only a small suspect pool, but the community is just beside themselves. They're grieving. And there's no way any accused can get a fair trial here. That's another issue.
Lana, you're talking like a true judge and former prosecutor, but we're putting the cart before the horse. Trial. Let me just find the girl first. Dr. Bethany Marshall, you heard what Cheryl McCollum just said the first 3 hours. Dr. Bethany Marshall, high-profile psychoanalyst, joining us out of LA at drbethanymarshall.com. I heard the mom, Cassie Matthews, unlike Susan Smith, who was blubbering and snotting and carrying on after she murdered her boys. This mom sounds real.
Nancy, she's genuine. She's distraught. She does not know what to do. This mother has no idea what happened. I can hear that in her voice. And in terms of the kidnapping, you know, stranger abductions are more rare than abductions at the hand of non-custodial caregivers. so, you know, when they move in from the lake towards family members, I would wonder, in this town of 5,000 people, are there relatives scattered about? Are there people who take care of this child when she meanders to the bus stop? Are there other people who kind of, like, you, as you said, they watch after her, but are any of them caregivers? Are any of them babysitters? I think that would be, like, a very important question.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Guys, we are talking about the disappearance of an 11-year-old girl out of Texas, Livingston, pot less than 6,000, much smaller community. Where is Audrey? What more do we know? Listen.
On the afternoon of Thursday, February 15, Audrey Cunningham doesn't arrive home at her usual time. Family members look around for her, assuming she got distracted on her walk home from the bus stop. As they look over the neighborhood and search the woodline behind her house that leads to the lake, panic sets in as nobody has seen Audrey walking home from the bus stop. Police are notified at 5:30 p.m. and an Amber Alert is issued for 11-year-old Audrey Cunningham.
Okay. Sad to say, day late, dollar short. Why? It's not LE, law enforcement. It's not the parents' fault. It's not mommy or daddy's fault. It's not grandma's fault. It's the school's fault. Because they did not tell the parents. She did not make it to school that morning. What does that mean? That means the perp has a good 9-10 hours lead. Think about it. 10 hours, 9 hours. Times 60 miles an hour. That's a lot of miles, right? For your little girl to be in the car with a perp. Lana Shadwick, what school district is this?
It's Livingston ISD, and parents in this small town, small county are asking, why the heck did I not know that my child got to school or didn't make it that day? There's some kind of automated system whereby it impersonally calls and says, you know, there's some kind of system that just says child didn't show up today or something.
I got a question for you, Lana Shadwick. By the way, guys, Lana is a high-profile lawyer in this jurisdiction, Livingston, Texas, former Harris County judge and prosecutor. You can find her at lanashadwick.com. Lana, the notice I get is email and text. I get both. But I'm wondering if this automated system that Livingston Independent School District has, could it be a phone call? Could it be a call to the home and it just takes a message and nobody's there?
I understand it was a phone call. Maybe it's a text message also. And absolutely, whether it's a text message that's automated or a phone call, you can make it and nobody's looking at it.
Well, this is what I'm understanding. That, hey, joining me right now is Chris McDonough, former homicide detective, has been on many, many cases where a child goes missing. I found him during the Brian Koberger investigation. We're still waiting for that trial to ever happen. And his YouTube channel called The Interview Room. And that's, you know, I was telling you earlier about that gas station where the clerk saw the video and told cops. That's where I first saw the gas station. On The Interview Room, because he was driving about 1.5 miles an hour all around Moscow, Idaho. And I saw it. I'm like, bang. And then I went to it later. That's how I found out about it, through Chris McDonough. Chris McDonough, thank you for joining us. I just got off the phone double-checking a statistic with my longtime friend and colleague. You all know him well. He's the gold standard, Mark Klass. And he gave me the stat. Did you know, Chris McDonough, I hope you're sitting down. You may need to lay down for this one. Over 30% of child abductions are school-related. At the bus stop, going to the bus stop, walking to school, walking home, taking the bus home, taking the bike home. 30% plus of all child abductions are school transport related. What about that, McDonough?
That is definitely a shocking statistic, Nancy. And, you know, the fact that that statistic is so high in today's society just causes us to, you know, just wait and pause and ponder what, you know, exposure our children are having to subjects who feel that they need to take them.
And Nancy, I don't find that shocking at all. I really respect
Oh, guys,
Christmas.
You're hearing Dr. Bethany Marshall, high-profile psychoanalyst, joining us out of L.A. Please jump in, Dr. Bethany.
I so respect Chris McDonough, and it's true, it's shocking on one level, but on another, it's not shocking. School grounds, bus stops, they are feeding grounds for predators. Where is a predator, where is a child molester, a pedophile going to work? A daycare, a school, maybe they become the choir director at the church, a camp counselor. They are going to gravitate anywhere where there are large groups of children. So your child is not safest at church, at school, at summer camp. And I always say no one should be more interested in your child than you. So just because you have somebody visiting the house and showing interest and, you know, a group of people gathering lovingly around your child, you still have to look very carefully at who those people are.
I've handled case after case after case where children go missing en route to the bus stop, at the bus stop, on the way home from school, to school, you name it. And one that really sticks in my mind is a little girl. I'll never get her name out of my head. Aliana Jeffries. Listen.
Cleveland police asking the community for help finding a missing teenager. 14-year-old Aliana DeFries is developmentally challenged. So even though she is physically 14, she's mentally and emotionally about the age of an 8 or 9-year-old. Aliana DeFries is sweet, outgoing, and very trusting. Her mother, Denisha Cooper, put her on the bus at 6:38 a.m. Surveillance video shows Aliana getting off the bus a short time later. Surveillance video from a business shows DeFries and another girl outside a McDonald's. And later video shows Aliana DeFries outside True Gospel Missionary Baptist Church, where Christopher Whitaker approaches DeFries and leads her away from the church. Surveillance video then shows Whitaker leading DeFries through a field.
And then what happened?
After leading Aliana DeFries through a field, Christopher Whitaker takes the 14-year-old to an abandoned house where he rapes the girl. Whitaker then uses a Black & Decker drill, a Phillips head screwdriver, a nut driver, a box cutter, and a hammer to beat and stab Aliana DeFries to death. DeFries dies as a result of stab wounds and multiple blunt force injuries. DeFries' body is found in the abandoned house, but has to be identified by DNA. Whitaker is tried, convicted, and sentenced to death for the murder of 14-year-old Aliana DeFries.
We know that morning, the morning that Audrey Cunningham, just 11 years old, supposed to get on the bus. It's not that she disappears from school. She never even got on the bus. Listen to Rachel Bonilla, Crime Stories.
Discovering Audrey Cunningham never got on the bus, police ask for help from the community. Investigators ask for security video people might have from the area or of the vehicle of interest, a dark blue 2003 Chevrolet Suburban. They also have a person of interest, the last person known to be with Audrey Cunningham, Don Stephen McDougal.
Lana Shadwick, high-profile lawyer, joining us out of Livingston, this jurisdiction in Texas. How far from the family home to the bus stop?
Half a mile from what I've seen on social media.
And you know what else? Let me throw this to you, Dr. Bethany, Chris McDonough, Carla Castillo, Lana Shadwick, anybody. We would typically walk home from school every day. It was a mile. But to get to school, we'd walk two blocks to the bus stop. But in this day and age, a half a mile, that's a pretty good walk for a little girl first thing in the morning. Carla Castillo, do we know what time she typically left the home to get to the bus stop?
No, not officially, unfortunately, but I know in some of our rural communities, we do have kiddos who go out there a little bit earlier, 6:45 and earlier, because of the time it takes to walk to the bus and then for the bus to get to the school.
Well, not only is a half a mile a long walk for an 8-year-old, this is not along pastures and rural roads. This is in front of houses where the same people see her day after day after day. What if there's a predator in that neighborhood? Remember Chanel, who was found stuffed in a garbage can and the perpetrator was somebody who lived...
Chanel Petro Nixon. Yes.
Yes. The perpetrator lived in the apartment building, so he saw her repeatedly over time. Little Jessica Lunsford, remember, buried with her little pet dolphin stuffed animal? It was somebody in the neighborhood.
Well, catty-cornered from her home.
Catty-corner, who saw her.
Who was a registered sex offender. Cooey, remember him? Jay Cooey. Yeah, may he rot in hell. But, you know, you're reminding me, Dr. Bethany, of something I would always tell jurors. Perps covet that which they see. In other words, that's why you look close to home, then you move out, then you move out, then you move out. So yes, absolutely.
Well, that's why when children are abducted and killed, they're usually buried within a quarter mile of the family's home, because it's children in that area. The Delphi murders, remember, it was a man who worked in a pharmacy that found, like, little Abigail, you know, accosted Abigail and her friend because he saw them come in and out again and again.
In this case, Dr. Bethany is completely correct. Who in the hay would drive this child to school when she was running late? Typically leaving around 7 a.m. in the morning, which is also significant. In a nutshell, Chris McDonough, because violent crimes usually don't happen that early in the morning. Agree, disagree?
Agree. And this is why, that to me, that 30% is so significant, because across the country, within the first 3 hours of a child being abducted, there's a high probability that child's life was taken as well. And, you know, statistically across the country, about 4,500 children are abducted, which is about 1% of the total number in relationship to, you know, high risk and stranger abduction. So this little girl walking potentially to her bus stop at such a late hour puts her in a very, very, high risk situation for an offender.
Now enter the 42-year-old family friend covered with tattoos, including a swastika, who is a friend of the family. Listen to Nicole Parton.
Audrey Cunningham's dad has a friend of his staying in a camper in their backyard. His name is Don Stephen McDougall. The 42-year-old sometimes gives Audrey a ride to the bus stop, or if she is running really late and misses the bus, he will take her to school. He occasionally babysits for Audrey when needed, his way of saying thanks for letting him live in the camper in their backyard. On Thursday, February 15, Audrey is in her house getting ready to walk to the bus stop like she does most mornings, and Don Stephen McDougall offers to give her a lift.
And more, we're hearing from Sheriff Byron Lyons. Listen.
He was supposed to be taking her to the dropping off at the bus stop. And we do feel at this point that he was the last person who seen Audrey. There has been information found that there were some occasions that he did drop her off at the bus stop, or even take her to school if she missed the bus.
Who is this guy? Number one, he's got a big fat Nazi swastika right there on his left shoulder. You can't miss it because he's so fond of posing for photos without his shirt on. I can't make out the rest of all those tattoos. They're all a big blur. Carla Castillo, this guy with the swastika tattoo on his shoulder, who is he?
So Don Stephen McDougall is somebody I, as an adult, would not want to be near. I can't imagine having a child around this man who, in March of 2007, was accused of attempting to engage in sexual contact with a girl under the age of 17. And so he has a conviction. There's been a lot of questions as to why he's not a registered sex offender. The conviction was not for something that apparently required him to do that, but it's still icky enough that you, as a parent, as a responsible adult, it feels like, you know, this is not someone you have around a child.
So he was not required to register as a sex offender. Listen now to Lieutenant Craig Cummings.
I also want to announce the Polk County Crime Stoppers reward has been increased to $10,000 for information leading to the arrest and prosecution of the person responsible. I also want to announce the Polk County Crime Stoppers reward has been increased to $10,000 for information leading to the arrest and prosecution of the person responsible for Audrey's disappearance.
Chris McDonough joining us from the interview room, former homicide detective. Did you see these tattoos?
Yes. Some of those tattoos obviously come from inside, you know, the prison system. There's information that this gentleman, McDougal, was affiliated with a group called the AB, which is the Aryan Brotherhood, which is a prison gang. And so this guy here would fit the mold in relationship to the PD investigating him first and foremost. You know, he comes to the top of the shelf.
Cheryl McCollum joining us, Cold Case Research Institute forensic expert. Go ahead.
The thing about the tattoos that sticks out for me is this guy is often wearing a wife beater where they're exposed or no shirt at all, which tells me he's not hiding. He's not trying to hide who or what he is. Even in one of the photographs, he's making a hand sign that looks like the number one and the number two with his middle finger down. That also is for those letters A and B, the Aryan Brotherhood. So not only are the tattoos exposed, he wants you to know in a photograph who he is.
You know what? That speaks volumes to me, Dr. Bethany Marshall. Why is this animal out of the prison system?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get these tattoos. Not the county jail like in Mayberry, where Otis checks himself in and out. Talking about the pen. He has tattoos from the penitentiary. And he's not ashamed. Like Cheryl said, a swastika, the thing's got to be 4 inches tall, right there on his shoulder, which would show in a wife beater.
He's holding a beer can in his hand.
Holding a cold beer is not a felony, all right? But I'm telling
you, I know.
Brazenly showing off, and it's on his Facebook. It's on his Facebook. That's where I saw it. He posted it.
Nancy, he's prisoner identified. That means that he's not identified with being like a normal civilian out in the public. He's identified with that particular community that lives in penitentiaries. They do have a community, and in terms of hierarchy, in terms of how they work out together, in terms of what kinds of tattoos they have. So I would wonder if this guy has not just been in prison once, but been in and out of the prison multiple times. And that's why he's living in a trailer behind somebody's house. He probably doesn't have long-term gainful employment. He probably has short-term gigs. And I think it's kind of weird that on this one picture, he has his shirt off. He has a big belly, but he's completely covered in tattoos from the neck all the way down. I don't know. He has his pants on, so I don't know below the belt.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Why in the H-E-double-L would you let this guy take your 11-year-old to school? I mean, did he dupe the parents into thinking he's really a good guy?
You know what? I do not want to vilify the parents when they are in a time of great distress.
Not what I asked you. I asked you, did he dupe them?
Yes, he probably did because, okay, so let me start again. Offenders, predators do not just groom a child. They groom the entire family. So usually they become good friends with the parents. Usually they offer to do favors for the kids, and they ingratiate themselves. And it's not usually until they've been with the family for a long time that they start to molest the child.
So I'm wondering, how did the dad or grandparents know this guy well and think it's okay to have a sex offender? Oh, I've got details on the sex offense, the prior. Lana Shadwick tried not to do a backflip when you hear this. McDougal allegedly attempted to engage in sex contact with a girl under 17. According to a grand jury indictment, he removed another female from the bed where the victim was sleeping. He got in and pulled down the little girl's pajama bottoms and underwear. He was indicted. He got bonded at $25,000. A year later, he pled guilty to enticing a child, a third-degree felony in Texas. Okay. Cheryl McCollum, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but when I was trying cases in inner city Atlanta, a lot of my witnesses would be felons themselves, which I tell the jury up front, because even the devil can tell the truth once in a while when he wants to. And I would drive around alone in my beat up Honda with convicted rapists, dopers, you name it. I was not afraid. Why? I don't know. But can these guys charm you? were the parents charmed into thinking it was okay for this guy to give their daughter a ride?
Nancy, I'm not blaming a victim.
Did I ask you to blame a victim?
No, but I...
What is with you and Dr. Bethany? I am a crime victim. No, I don't want you to blame the victim. I'm asking about the person of interest. Could he have charmed the parents?
No, and here's why. I don't know how in the world you could be charmed by somebody that's got not one, but three swastikas. And then they've got the double lightning bolt.
Well, you need to explain what that means, Cheryl. Don't just throw it out without explaining it.
Aryan Nation, white supremacy, a hate group. And they know good and well that that is not a tattoo that means anything else. And in combination with, he's got Ain't Afraid, he's got barbed wire, he's got one and two, he's got a pit bull, he's got a map of the United States with stars and bars, the rebel flag. Every single thing on his body tells you he's a white supremacist.
Okay, Nancy, the East Texas, unfortunately, is a heavy drug community, or it can be. Meth is prolific. This area is supposed to be a meth area. If parents, when they're on, I've worked for Child Protective Services, I've been a family law judge and a prosecutor. When people are on drugs, they are dull to reality. And if they don't have a babysitter and you gotta have a babysitter, you just grab the guy in the camper in the back with he's supplying drugs.
Guys, you're hearing Lana Shadwick right now. I don't have any information that anybody in that home was using drugs. But as far as that area being known for drugs, yes, that's true. We do know the so-called babysitter, Don Stephen McDougal, who has served time for child sex offenses, has now been identified as a POI, person of interest. What more do we know? More disturbing information. Take a listen to Sydney Sumner, Crime Online.
On Thursday evening, as a statewide Amber Alert is issued for Audrey Cunningham, the man who was with her last, Don Stephen McDougal, is listing items for sale on Facebook Marketplace. Listed as all must go, the items include parts to an HVAC system, a set of weights, and an Everlast punching bag. A KPRC producer sends a message to McDougal about items for sale, and around 3 a.m., McDougal responds, but only once.
Carla Castillo joining me, KBTX. That's not a good sign. So after Audrey Cunningham goes missing, after he reportedly is driving her to the bus stop and she never gets on the bus, he starts selling all his stuff online?
That does not leave a good impression. It sounds to me like someone who's trying to get rid of everything he's got and maybe leave town.
A long rap sheet going back as far as 2001. Joining us, as you know, is Lisa Shadwick, who's paralegal, has had contact with McDougal. What happened to your paralegal's boyfriend, Lana?
Okay, Lana. He got stabbed in August. I mean, he was stabbed by this guy in August.
And this guy has been spotted in a dark blue SUV in and around downtown Livingston. Listen to Nicole Parton. Crime stories.
Around 6:30 p.m. on Friday, February 16, Don Stephen McDougal is arrested and placed in the Polk County Jail, not for the disappearance of Audrey Cunningham, but on an unrelated aggravated assault with a deadly weapons charge. The public now finds out that McDougal has a criminal record dating back to 2001 for charges, and in 2008, authorities say he was convicted on a charge of enticing a child and was sentenced to 2 years.
Lana Shadwick joining us, a high-profile lawyer out of Livingston, former judge and prosecutor. Lana, so this guy, the friend in the backyard camper, has been picked up on your paralegal boyfriend knifing. Is that right? That's why he's in jail right now. Thank God.
That's correct. But this knifing, stabbing that occurred in the middle of the night in August, it was in August. And so he was just now arrested and indicted for that stabbing. So he's in jail now behind bars where he can't hurt anyone. But this happened back in August, and there's a lot of finger pointing.
Now we're trying to figure out where was his vehicle spotted. Take a listen to Sheriff Byron Lyons, Polk County.
One of the reasons that we're asking for the videos, we're trying to piece together a timeline of where he's been and the travel that he took, the roadways that he took. So this area is just one that's in particular that we can say that we know that he was in. And so we're making sure that we do extensive search of those areas. But the problem is that when we have a lot, and I know that people are concerned and people want to help, but a lot of time when we bring too many people into an area, it hinders our efforts in being able to try to find and locate evidence.
The police now desperately asking if you have seen this vehicle. Chris McDonough, what kind of car is it specifically?
It's a dark blue Suburban. It's very dirty, and they're looking for it in relationship to video or anything to that effect, probably because they locked him in to a story. And what they're looking for is to find some type of, you know, correlating evidence that would blow holes in that particular story.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Lana Shadwick joining us, a lawyer out of Livingston. Is it true cops have the vehicle?
Yes, they have the vehicle. And there's tapes of him at the donut shop across from the courthouse, down from the jail, with the vehicle. Then they arrested him or took him or detained him and asked him questions. So they've got the vehicle now.
And you know, in that video you're talking about, he looks very relaxed. He's kind of like leaned up on his vehicle, all propped up on it. I saw that. But what you just said, Lana Shadwick, is very, very important. Explain forensically the importance, Cheryl McCollum, of them having his vehicle.
They're going to be able to take the mud and test it to see if this was right by that river. They are going to look for blood. They're going to look for hair. They're going to look for anything that was left by her, maybe a toy, maybe something from her backpack that got torn off, like a little keychain or something. They're going to look for anything that should not be there. Again, underwear, blood, large amounts of hair, ripped clothing, toys, anything that should not have been left in that vehicle.
Absolutely. And now another development. It could give some people hope. Not to me. Take a listen to Sheriff Byron Lyons.
We feel strongly today that that backpack that was found is a high probability that it's going to be Audrey's.
A backpack has been found. Cheryl McCollum, what does that tell you?
It tells me we've got a direction of travel. It tells me we've got a item that this child would not have left behind willingly. It also tells me the location of where that backpack is in relation to the bus stop. Here's what I think we're looking at, Nancy. He was seen at a gas station at 9 o'clock.
Without her on the video.
Without her on the video. So that's a two-hour window. So she's less than an hour away in any given direction. So where that backpack is, they should fan out almost, you know, think about it as a spiral. And you just go out and out and out. She's going to be there near that waterway or in that water somewhere.
Carla Castillo joining us, KBTX. Exactly where was the backpack found?
It was found near, according to the sheriff, it was near the dam, the Lake Livingston Dam.
Lana Shadwick, tell me about Lake Livingston Dam.
The lake was built, man-made. It is huge. It's the second largest lake in the state of Texas. It connects to the Trinity River, which goes into, I believe, the San Jacinto River, which goes into the Gulf. And it is a moving body of water, and I hope that baby's not out there.
You know, I'm just thinking about what you're saying and what Cheryl McCollum is saying. Everybody jump in if you have a thought on this. Of course, I don't need DNA to tell me if it's John David or Lucy's backpack. I know what it looks like, and I know what's in it, because I look at it every morning, every afternoon, and every night before it goes back to school. One of the few clues in the disappearance of this little 11-year-old girl, Audrey Cunningham, is a red Hello Kitty backpack that she was supposed to carry to school with her on Thursday morning, Feb 15, the morning after Valentine's Day. Usually leaves the house around 7 a.m. She never made it to the bus stop half a mile away. She was given a ride by a family friend covered in Nazi swastikas. He was spotted without her at 9 a.m. at a local gas station. Whatever went down in 2 hours. Would you agree or disagree, Cheryl? I don't think this guy has the brains or the wherewithal to hide somebody away and continue to visit them and torture them and rape them. Whatever happened to her happened between 7 and 9.
Absolutely. And if you look at pre and post behavior, Nancy, you've got a guy that is vacant for that period of time, but he doesn't know the school hasn't notified anybody. So he's working very quickly. This same person finds it more important to sell items on Facebook and respond to people instead of looking for this child.
Chris McDonough, jump in.
I agree with Cheryl. I agree. Cheryl is 1,000% correct. And I think what's happening, you know, the sad part of this, if in fact that poor child is in that water, it'll be 7 to 10 days before her body potentially would surface, depends on the currents there. And if that body does surface, you know, God forbid it is in the water, then that could, it could surface anywhere. And so I suspect the PD, if they're going to lean towards that body of water, we're going to see some movement around that lake pretty rapidly.
Carla Castillo joining us, KBTX News. Has the person of interest, the Aryan Brotherhood member, has he been taking police to locations or identifying police for police locations to search?
So the sheriff, during his latest press conference, said that yes, there have been some instances. He didn't say where, but he said that McDougal has been taking them to locations. To he has been asked, where were you in so many hours? And he has apparently been taking them to those locations.
To the locations where he says he was, right?
Correct.
I take that with a box of salt. So Cheryl McCollum, Chris McDonough, Lana Shedwick, Carla Castillo, have you noticed that very often defendants will tell you half-truths, or they might tell you a lot of the story, but they'll leave out a significant portion? Like, yeah, I went to the gas station and I stopped at Dunkin' Donuts and then I did this and that, but they're leaving out something in the middle of that.
100%.
All right, so where he dumped the child. The sheriff is saying they have not given up hope that Audrey is alive. But wouldn't this be a simple matter of pinging his cell phone, Cheryl McCollum? Tracking it?
It could be, unless he turned it off. But I'll tell you something. What law enforcement has already done is brilliant, because they have locked him in. And I guarantee you, they have videoed him saying, I went here and here and here. And they've got him on the record and on video saying where all he went. Well, now he can't backtrack.
Let's hear from Lana.
Okay, speaking of tracks, they've got mud tracks from his vehicle along the lake. Whether, you know, he's fishing or whatever he said he was doing. There's a bumper of his that hit a tree. They've got that bumper evidence. And of course, they've got the video and camera footage from the area that the sheriff said yesterday during the press conference that video from individuals out there have been very, very helpful. And what that means, I don't know, but he says it's been very helpful.
Cheryl McCollum, Chris McDonough, what is he doing out there bumping into a tree? Why would he do that unless he was in haste? At the same location, the same lake where the Hello Kitty backpack is found.
He's in panic mode here. When, if in fact, you know, he is dumping those evidence items there and he's backing out potentially, you know, some of these guys get such tunnel vision after, you know, the crime has gone down that they start to, you know, panic, and that these are the kind of problems that occur, you know, small accidents such as this. But he's given an opportunity to cooperate from the PD, and the Cheryl, what Cheryl said earlier is 1,000% again correct, because they want to lock him in, and then of course they can have problems like this and say, well, you know, tell me about the bumper on your car. How did you get that?
Absolutely. So you've got somebody that has said, I was with her that morning. He forgot to hide the backpack appropriately. That's another mistake that puts himself at a location that I believe is going to end up really hurting any kind of defense he could put up later. He is putting himself where her body will be located in the general area.
Remember when Scott Peterson had trouble either backing in or out mm-hmm. of the marina after he dumped Lacey's body? Remember that?
Yes.
Yep.
On a normal day, he probably wouldn't have had that problem. But with the nerves, whether he realized it or not, he did have a problem. This guy here bams into a tree with a distinctive bumper mark. Wonder what that is. What could that be? But it's his, all right. So why run into a tree? Why in a hurry? Why that mistake? Why in the location of her Hello Kitty backpack? As we close, all eyes on the gathering law enforcement. We have learned a body has been found, and in the last moments, it has been identified as Audrey.
Listen.
At this time, I sadly announced that Audrey's body was located at the Trinity River under U.S. Highway 59. As a result of today's developments, I will discontinue the Amber Alert for Audrey. And I want to thank DPS, Department of Public Safety, for all their help in this alert. The information that we have gathered in this criminal investigation is substantial. The Polk County Sheriff's Office investigators, the Livingston Police Department, and the Texas Rangers, the game wardens, the FBI, Harris County Sheriff's Office, the San Jacinto County Sheriff's Office, the District Attorney's Office in Trinity County and Liberty County, it's just an outpouring of love from all of our law enforcement partners. My heart aches with this news, and I express with my deepest sympathies and condolences to everyone who knew, who cared for, and loved Audrey. The Sheriff's Office, we will continue to process the evidence that has been gathered to ensure that the justice for Audrey. And at this time, I will turn the podium over to the Polk County District Attorney, Ms. Shelley Sam.
Thank you, Byron. My name is Shelley Sitton, and I am your Polk County District Attorney. I just want to take a few moments to explain how we're going to move forward from here. Based on all of the evidence that law enforcement has collected, they are in the process of preparing the appropriate arrest warrants for Don Stephen McDougal. At this time, we believe the appropriate arrest warrant is going to be for capital murder in the death of Audrey Cunningham.
Be sure to join us for Wednesday's Crime Stories when we bring you the very latest on this developing story.
We wait as justice unfolds. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.